Good morning, everyone, and welcome to class this morning, where we are continuing to look at the medical missionary work, the reason for the medical missionary work, and the role that the medical missionary work plays, and what the medical missionary work is all about. So yesterday, when Ben introduced us, he talked about the house. He talked about getting the house ready to start the medical missionary work. And then we went on to the house, the body, getting the body ready. Everybody that comes to a medical missionary facility is looking for something that works. So it is of the utmost importance that we do experimental education. What's experimental education? That's proving it first in your own life. And the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:21, so that's 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. So it is of the utmost importance that everyone prove these principles in their own life. Why did the medical missionary work begin? Well, people today, and people even 100 years ago, were beginning to acknowledge that medicine's not working. Is that right? In fact, it's considered to be the third killer in the world today. And this isn't just medical mistakes. This is prescribed medication. In the last 2 weeks, 260 people have died from COVID in Australia, and 259 were vaccinated. And what were we told from the media about the vaccination? Everyone must be vaccinated to stop COVID. Why such a fuss over something that is number 38 on killer in the world today? Now, these are very important figures to have. Number 38. What's number 3? The very medication that is supposed to be helping. And I'm sure we're all familiar with the three angels' message that were given out in the mid-1800s. And I'd like to take you to the first angel. And it's found in Revelation chapter 14, and it's starting at verse 6. And I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to them that dwell on the earth, to every nation, kindred, tribe, and people. And verse 7, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him. Many people today have taken the vaccination because of fear. Yeah. That's right. So let me just show you this on the board. Fear. But what does the Bible say? Fear God. Is that right? Fear God. And in First John, and it's around verse chapter 4, about 18, it says, perfect love casts out fear. There is no fear in love. Yeah. It says, fear God and give glory to him. So this is the fear that we should have. But let's have a look at 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, where God says, I have not given you the spirit of fear. So this is a different fear. And to know what type of fear that is, let's have a look at the next part of the verse. God says, I've not given you the spirit of fear, that's 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. So this is the emotion, fear. And I'd like to suggest that the devil works on that one. Fear. I'm going to die. And isn't that what the media did when the whole COVID thing began? Fear. Most people go to the doctor because of fear. Is that right? What's the matter with me? But what does the Bible say? Where to fear God? And that's a totally different fear. And how do we explain that type of fear? Let's go to Psalm 33, verse 8. And in Psalm 33, verse 8, the Bible says, "Let all the world fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the earth stand in awe of him." So what's this fear? It's awe. Awe in an amazing God who is able. And I'm sure we all know Ephesians 3, 20, where it says, "Unto him who is able to do it exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." I told you that the Bible is the best medical book we have. He is able. He is able. If you don't think he's able, just read through the stories in the Old Testament where the sea parted. And you've got the New Testament. He's an incredible God. But there is the enemy of souls out there who works on this one, fear. And I'd like to also suggest that he works on fear of death. Let me give you a story to illustrate. My husband went to the doctor to have his eyes tested, and the doctor said, "You've got pressure in your eyes. You need to see a specialist." And Michael said, "No." He said, "What do you mean, no? You've got pressure in your eyes. You have to see a specialist. You have to take these drops." Michael said, "No, I'm not going to see the specialist, and I'm not going to take the drops." And the doctor said, but you'll go blind." Michael said, "I don't think so. Bye." What did you do then? Nothing.
Went to you.
Nothing. but kept the natural laws. We had a guest recently who had the most horrific story. She went to the eye specialist. He said, "You've got pressure on your eyes. You need to see the specialist and you need to take these drops." She took the drops, which hurt terribly. She went to the specialist. The specialist said, "We have to drill into your eyeball to release the pressure." See, what do people do? Fear. Okay. Do you know what God wants us to do? He wants us to question. So she had the very painful procedure done. It didn't seem to help. 6 months later, the eye got very sore. She went to the doctor. Now she's got eye cancer. And they removed her eyeball. I don't know you, but that's what I fear.
Yeah, I fear the doctors.
Question. God is the healer. And I'm going to be introducing this to you quite a few times. It's Exodus, and it's chapter 15, verse 26. How do I remember that one? Six is one more than five, and two is one more than one. So I have little clues. And God said, "If you diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and give and do that which is right in his sight." What's right in his sight? We know straight away by studying his word and his requirements. "And give ear to his commandments." That's what's right. That's how we diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. "And keep all his statutes," all of them. "Then said God, I will put none of those diseases upon you that I have put upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." Who healeth? God. So let us be in fear, awe of him. Psalm 33 verse 8 is a very good verse to have to show people. I didn't give you the next verse because it tells you why we should be in awe of him. I forget whether it's world or earth first. "Let all the inhabitants of the world fear the Lord." I think it's earth first. "Let all the inhabitants of the earth fear the Lord. Let all the world stand in awe of him." And now it tells you why. "For he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast." Praise God. What an amazing God. No wonder the first angel says, "Fear God. Give glory to him, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do." Is that 1 Corinthians, I think, 10:31? "Do all to the glory of God." We know that verse. We give glory to Him when we go to bed early. We give glory to Him when we drink adequate water. We give glory to Him when we eat nourishing food and not too much. We give glory to Him when we exercise every day. So the angel said in Revelation 14, verse 7, fear God, give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come. And we know that in the sanctuary message. Worship Him that made heaven, earth, and the sea, and the fountains of waters. Let me take you to Isaiah chapter 42, verse 5. Thus saith God, the Lord, the creator of the heavens that stretched them out, He that brought forth the earth and that which comes out of it. Who came out of the earth? We did. We were created from the dust of the ground. He that giveth breath to the people upon it. Do you know your very breath is in His hand? And He is the one that decides when you die and when you live. That's why there is nothing to fear from that doctor. There's nothing to fear from this ailment that's happening to you. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Remember you looked at 5:21, which in everything give thanks. Sorry, prove all things. It's in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 where the Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. He that giveth breath to the people upon it and spirit to them that dwell therein. He said, I, the Lord, hath called thee in righteousness. I will hold thine hand. What a beautiful verse as you become medical missionaries. What has He just said? I will hold thine hand. I will hold thine hand. I will keep thee. I will give thee for a covenant of the Gentile, of the people and a light of the Gentiles. Look at the next verse. It's our medical missionary verse, to open the blind eyes. Isn't it true that many are blind? Many are so blind to the conditions that the body needs to heal. Remember 127 of the Ministry of Healing? I know it's 44 in another book. The only hope of better things is the education of people in right principles. Do you know what your medical missionary facility is? And I said to a journalist recently who was trying to trap me, it's a very bad article went out in the Times newspaper. I don't know why they're scared of this little lady from Australia. People said, what did they ban you for? And Michael says, oh, just getting people to drink more water and go to bed early. To open the blind eyes. Many are blind today as to the truth. That's why Ellen White says the only hope of better things is the education of people in the right principles. And I said to this journalist, I'm not a doctor. I don't want to be a doctor. I just teach people. So you're not trying to be a doctor. You're just a teacher. Teaching people the conditions to heal. And when they were questioning me in the two-hour tribunal I had to go through, they could find nothing. Because you know what I never say? I can heal you. I can heal your cancer. I never say that. Because I can't. There's only one thing that can heal you, and that is the body and the body alone, if given the right conditions. Mm-hmm. So this is what we teach the people. It is I who chooses what I do to my body. What's the basis of freedom? Free choice. Yeah? It is I that chooses whether God is my king. It is I that chooses if I go to bed at 8 o'clock or midnight. I praise God for the healing power of sleep. I didn't get much yesterday because I had to get up at 2. I had 11 hours last night. Praise be to God. The healing power of sleep. And we're going to go into detail and I'm going to show you why, in great detail, why sleep restores. I read it in a book called Why We Sleep by an Atheist. Whew, did I get a lot out of that book? You know what he says right in the middle of the book? It's almost as if sleep has an intelligence. And if he was in front of me, I'd say, of course it has, mate. God put it there. Can I read such books? Can I get information out of such books, even though they're from the atheist? You know, we should be the head, and I'm sorry, we've become the tail in many areas. But you know what? I put on glasses that God gave me. And everything they say, my Bible's in my suitcase. I don't have my Bible here. I put against the Bible and the spirit of prophecy. Can I have that? Here. And the Bible, they're your sieve, they're your guidelines, and if they speak not according to this, there's no light in them, yeah? So that's our guideline. We have a wonderful guideline. Do you remember what they asked Dr. Kellogg at Battle Creek? They say, how come you're so far ahead of all the other hospitals and institutions? He said, it's real simple. Something new comes on. If it's in line with God says, we run with it. We don't even test it. And he said, if it's not in line with what God says, we don't even touch it. Mm-hmm. That's what we've got. That's what we've got as medical missionaries. Mm-hmm. Because we fear God and give glory to him. Back to Isaiah 42. To open the blind eyes, to bring the prisoners out of the prison and they that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Isn't that our role of medical missionaries? We've seen so many prisoners freed from addictions. So many freed from the addiction of caffeine. So many freed from the addiction of refined sugar. There's so many areas. Oh yes, and all the drugs. I think I told you about the lady we had last week. Was it 3 bottles of alcohol, wine a day for 5 years, and before that, 1.5 bottles of brandy a day for 2 years. Yee. And God brought her to Manor House. Mm-hmm. Praise be to God. Yeah. When did I leave? Day before yesterday, that lady was smiling. Oh, she's found gold. She's been freed. Her blindness has been cured. Where does the blindness come from? We find the blindness in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3. But the God of this world has blinded the minds. Aha. It's a blind mind. You see that? Has blinded the minds of men who believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine upon them. Oh, we get back to that again. I read in Great Controversy where Ellen White says, barely is the enemy mentioned from the pulpit. So do you know what that makes me want to do? Bring it into every presentation. And I can bring it in with you because you are Bible-believing Christians. But when I am speaking to people who do not know God, I'm a little bit more cautious with how I bring that in. But remember what God's just promised. He's going to hold your hand. He's going to keep you. He's going to give you as a covenant of the people and a light of the Gentiles. Why? To open the blind eyes. That's the reason for the medical missionary work. Can you see that? That is the reason. And let's go to Isaiah 58. In Isaiah 58, God's love letter to mankind. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Show my people their transgression, the house of Jacob their sins. Does that mean we have to stand on the pulpit and say, you're drinking too much coffee, and you're eating too much, and you... No. Let's have a look at the voice that Daniel used. Let's have a look at the voice that Joseph used. What was their voice? It was their life. That was such a loud voice. I've recently read the story of Joseph. And after the dream interpretation, and the king said, we need a man to build houses. But he did not want Joseph for 2 reasons. He was a Hebrew and he was a slave. But he could not find a man. He tried everywhere. He could not find one. And then he started his own investigation. And he sent investigators into the prison. They questioned the prisoners. They questioned the jailers. They questioned the guards. I wouldn't be surprised if they also questioned Potiphar. And what did they find? No fault. No fault. And I wouldn't be surprised if the king had discovered that Potiphar knew that Joseph had not laid with his wife, because if he thought he had, he'd be dead. Yes. Isn't that true? Just imagine those years in that prison. Would you think Joseph had every reason to complain? He'd done nothing wrong. But what did he do? Do you know what Ellen White says in Patriarchs and Prophets? He drowned his sorrows by listening to the sorrows of others. How beautiful. He would go with the other prisoners. Tell me a story. He drowned his sorrows by listening to the sorrows of others. And I wouldn't be surprised if some of those prisoners are the ones that the king's men investigated. And what did the king eventually find? There was no one like Joseph. Even there. How did Joseph lift up his voice like a trumpet? How did he show the people their transgression and sin? By his life. By his life. What's the old saying? Preach the word, and sometimes use words. Yeah. And you know why the princes hated Daniel so much? He didn't drink. He didn't smoke. They could not fault him, and they hated him because his life was a constant testimony to their bad lives. So please, when you read that, don't think that you've got to go to the churches and stand there and start pointing the finger. Uh-huh. It is your life. It is your life. And when the people ask you, then you can speak. And you've probably heard this word, this saying, a man convinced against his will be of the same opinion still. In other words, you can preach it the morning, noon and night, but if they're not open to it, what's it going to do? Ellen White says, never scold, because it never does any good. Scold is a word we don't use much now, so I put a modern day word in it. Never nag, because it never does any good. Don't nag your teenagers. Don't nag your husband, ladies. And men don't usually nag, it's more women. Because it never does any good. What's your biggest testimony? It's your life. That's what it is. It's your life. One lady was working at our retreat and she said, well, I want to be able to eat when I want. Because some of the young girls found her in the back room eating between meals. She said, I want to be able to eat when I want. I said, you can eat when you want, but unfortunately you can't work here. When you work at the health retreat, you're in what they call, you're in a glass bowl, you're being watched. You're being watched by other staff. Please be a testimony to the other staff. You're being watched by the guests that come. You know what the Bible says, and it says this in Hebrews chapter 4, and I think it's around verse 14 or 15. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. All things are naked and opened before the eyes of with whom we have to do. God sees it all. You're not tricking anyone when you hide it from this person or that person. And you don't know whether you will be investigated like Joseph was. You don't know. You don't know. So that's when your voice will be the loudest. So after the tribunal where they questioned me for 2 hours, they had everything I'd ever said. They had everything. And I thought, oh, what are they going to find? I don't use notes. Sometimes my words might not be absolutely accurate. I couldn't find anything. there was one, you see, their claim is that I claim to cure cancer, which I have never claimed. And there was one where I demonstrated the sodium bicarbonate wraps, which is a wrap that we give to cancer patients to give their bodies the right condition for healing, which is all I've ever said. I was demonstrating and I just finished the wrap and the film clip came in that they chose. And someone said, can you use chemo as well as the sodium bicarbonate wraps? And I said, well, it's like cutting your hand and putting a Band-Aid on it and cutting again and putting a Band-Aid on it and cutting again and putting a Band-Aid on. And they turned it off. And I thought in my mind, is that all they've got? Is that all they've got? And the head of the Healthcare Complaints Commission said, why did you put that demonstration of the wrap up on YouTube? I said, I didn't. I said, I didn't even know it was there. In fact, I didn't. A guest said to me, oh, we've been doing the wraps. I said, how do you know what to do? She said, they're up on YouTube. I said, are they? So he said, who filmed it? I said, oh, I'm not sure that there was a film crew. Where were you? Or, you know, in under what thing? I said, well, a doctor had asked me to demonstrate it. Doctor who? What was his name? I felt like cornered then. I didn't want to give the doctor's name. And I looked at the lawyer, they're not allowed to speak to me. I said, I'm not going to tell you. And the lawyer said, call a break quickly. So we called a break. She said, by law, you have to give his name. And the Healthcare Complaints Commission was about to jump on me because he said, are you refusing to give the name? Oh, that's the only time I really felt cornered. So we had a break and she said, you have to tell. And I looked at my husband and he was not very happy that I'd said that. Marcus says, I'm too innocent. They'll just catch me. Anyway, so we started up again and because they recorded everything, he said, what was the doctor's name? I said, Dr. Thomas. He said, Dr. Thomas, who? I said, well, it's a long Indian name and I can't pronounce it. And all his patients call him Dr. Thomas. He looked, oh. He said, where does he work? I said, New Zealand. Well, it was just dropped like that. Because Australia has no jurisdiction over New Zealand. Because then they would have gone after that man. At the end of the tribunal, we talked to the lawyer and she said, I can't believe it, they've got nothing on you. And Marcus said, will she get off? He said, no, she'll get a life ban, but she won't go to jail. If she was guilty, she'd go to jail. That's our justice system. Doesn't it make you want to fly to and fear God, give glory to him? For the hour of his judgment has come and there will be a judgment day. And what does it say in Revelation 12? And I think it's about verse 11. It says, rejoice ye heavens and they that dwell therein. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth, for the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, knowing that he hath but a short time. His days are numbered. So no wonder Jesus said in John 16, verse 33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. Did you get that? In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. He said, I've overcome the world. So don't be surprised when the tribulation comes, because it's going to come. One lady said, why are they doing this all to you? Why is God letting that happen? I said, haven't you read the life of Jesus? Haven't you read Great Controversy? Have you seen the stand of the princes? Have you seen the ones that were burnt at the stake? We're not being burnt at the stake. Mm-hmm. What's the great want of the world? The want of men and women who will not be bought or sold. How many people have we met that have had the vaccine because they don't want to lose their job? They're not going to be shot or burnt at the stake. I'd rather be shot than burnt at the stake, though. That'd be quicker. But you see what I'm saying? Do you know what I love to do in my spare time? Well, I read a lot on health. But sometimes if I want to relax, I just read life stories. Life stories who've been in Auschwitz. Life stories who've been, you know, in a Siberian work camp. I love those stories. You know what I love about them? What these people have endured, how they've endured and what they've come out of. Because we are told it's not going to get easier. In fact, the more qualifications you have, the more they can go after you. There's a lady in Australia, and she's the wife of a very famous footballer. They're Samoan. She's a very beautiful woman. Dresses very beautifully, so the cameras love her. And she's strong. Don't vaccinate your children. It's a toxic drug. And she's not even an Adventist. And we know they're toxic. She basically preaches the health message. And they hate her. The media hate her. Well, the cameras love her because she's so beautiful. they always have her on there. But they hate her and they can do nothing about it because she's got no qualifications. Isn't that interesting? How can we get our knowledge then? The knowledge that I have accumulated over 40 years, I gladly give you. And it's from reading many books, probably hundreds by now. And because I have the Bible and the spirit of prophecy, I have those glasses on. And I speed read. I'm an avid reader. When it comes to something that's a little bit hocus pocus, I just speed read. And if I find an interesting word here or there, and that's what a speed reader does, they just catch the big words that just give a slight overview of what might be in there. And if I like it, I'll go back and read it word for word. That's what we have. And what you will find out as we go through this, it's far simpler than people realize. And I believe that's what God meant it to be. So in Isaiah 58, I think we're coming around where he talks about the fast. I think it's around verse 7, 6 or 7. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, to bring the poor that is cast out to thine house, when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and turn not thy face from thine own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning. Thine health shall spring forth speedily. Isn't that what Joseph did? He forgot his suffering by listening to the suffering of others. Ellen White says, doing good for others is an excellent remedy for disease. God wants us to come to him as we are. Is that right? Don't fix up our lives because we can't. Just come to him. And he wants us to come to him as medical missionaries right now. Right now. And you know where we start? We start in our own life. So God's healing is dependent on faith. Faith in the great God of heaven who died that we might live. Faith in the great God of heaven that created this body, stretched forth the earth, that which comes out of it. We came out of it. Faith in the great God of heaven, whereas the devil's healing is dependent on fear. Quick, you've got to go to the doctor and get an antibiotic. Your finger might fall off. You might go blind. You might go deaf because you've got an ear infection. You've got conjunctivitis. Quick, you might go blind. The first week I was in Scotland, I was struck down. I had high fevers. I had conjunctivitis. And then it went to the other eye. What did I do? I slept a lot. I ate very little. And I drank a lot of water. And I wiped the eye. And you know how to wipe the eye with conjunctivitis? That way. Don't spread it across the eye. One wipe, discard. One wipe, discard. I started with salt water. It started to sting. So I got chamomile tea and did that. And they totally healed. Lady I was staying with, she said, you got a bad infection. And you mentioned this yesterday. Do you know disease is born in us and of us? So why did I get sick? I think the devil struck me down. But he used weakness, a weak spot. See, I haven't always lived like this. I've lived like this for a long time, and I fly a lot. It's inevitable that you're exposed to environmental poisons. And do you remember what Ellen White said in page 127 of the Ministry of Healing? Disease is a process of repair. My conjunctivitis was a process of repair. And we're going to look at water therapies this afternoon, and we'll be discussing fevers in detail, and you will discover they are a wonderful healer. And what does the Bible say when you've got conjunctivitis and high fevers and you're lying in bed half the day? He says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks. Thanks, Father in heaven. Thank you so much. I have great faith in the body that you created that has an inbuilt ability to heal itself. Can you see why the medical missionary work was started? Can you see why it's a part of that third angel's message? What's the second angel? I think the second angel is verse 8. It says, Babylon is fallen. That great city that made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Do you know the Bible defines that a little bit more? And you will find that it will come under here. And we're going to go to Revelation chapter 18, which is the chapter that shows Babylon is fallen. And we're going to go to verse 23. And the last part says, and her merchants, what's Babylon's merchants, were the great men of the earth. Who are the great men of the earth? Would you say they were not what I consider great? Are they the wealthiest? So her merchants, what are merchants? Salesmen? Her merchants were the great men of the earth, who has deceived all nations by his sorceries. Four times in Revelation, sorceries is used, and it comes from the word pharmakia, which is what the pharmacy comes from. Everywhere else in the Bible it is sorcery, witchcraft, but not in Revelation. And did you know when the translators were translating the word sorcery, the three top choices were poisons, drugs, and sorceries. And they chose the word sorceries. So what if they had chosen the word drug? And her merchants are the great men of the earth who have deceived all nations by her drugs. For some reason, the pharmaceutical company still had their finger in there, or we'll say the devil who's behind that, and did not want that word drug there. Our Seventh-day Adventist institutions now, what are they using? They're using drugs. They're no different to any other hospital. Has the devil deceived all nations right now through the drugs?
Yes.
You got to vaccinate or you're going to die? Yeah. And what's happening? People are dying, but not from COVID, from the vaccine?
Yeah.
Remember Revelation 12, verse 9? That great dragon was cast out, which has deceived the whole world. The whole world. I'm sure each one of us has a story. My sister is a doctor of archaeology. She sent me an email and she doesn't want anyone coming into her home now unless they're vaccinated. I've spoken to people whose mother was dying in the hospital and they were not allowed to see her unless they were vaccinated. Yeah. Wow. Through fear, yeah? Can you see how the devil works? He uses fear. He presents that we evolved and the body cannot heal itself, so it's got to have drugs. And the Bible defines it. Now, I want to take you somewhere else. It's found in Revelation 22, verse 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they might have right to the tree of life. Do you remember the verse I just told you from Exodus 15, 26. If you will listen to the voice of the Lord thy God, do that which is right in his sight and give ear to his commandments. And do you remember page 347? That's an easy one to remember. 3 and 4 make 7, yeah. Page 347 of Christ Objects Lesson. Transgression of physical law is transgression of the moral law. Mm-hmm. If it were my words, you'd think, Barbara, you're a bit over the top there. These are not my words. These are not my words. In other words, there's not much difference. Well, we know the moral law, but the physical law, what she says, transgression of physical law is transgression of the moral law. Let's go back to Revelation 22, verse 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments. Now, you know what that means. That's very far-reaching, isn't it? Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they might have right to the tree of life and enter into the gates of the city. For without are dogs, sorcerers. And that word comes from the word pharmakia. For without are dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and whoso maketh and loveth a lie. So they're not entering into the gates of the cities. So we get the lying, we get the whoremongers, we get the murderers. We now know what the sorcerers are, the idolaters. What are the dogs? You've ever wondered what the dogs are? Well, in Isaiah chapter 56, verse 10, the Bible tells us, because the Bible explains itself. His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant, they are all dumb dogs that cannot bark. Have you ever had a dog that cannot bark? What use is a dog that cannot bark if you want a watchdog? I had a friend who had this really expensive, fancy car, and he had a little bulldog that he'd leave in the car. Well, they broke into the car and had some treats for the dog. Stole the car. It was a dumb dog, I'm afraid. His watchmen are blind. God's watchmen. His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are dumb dogs which cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber when the enemy's at the gate. And yea, and they are greedy dogs that cannot have enough. They are shepherds. Is this a shepherds over God's flock? They are shepherds that cannot understand, all looking to their own ways for their gain from his quarter. And look what the Bible says. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they might have right to the tree of life, for without are dogs, number one. And we know and we have read that it will be better for the prostitute and the murderer in the judgment day than God's watchmen who were dumb dogs. I say in the morning, I said, Father, I don't want to be a dumb dog. Tell me when to speak. Tell me how to speak. Tell me what to say. Can you see why the medical missionary work had to be started up? And after the first 3 years, isn't it more applicable now than ever? Knowledge dissipates fear. You've heard that saying? And that really is what we are about here. The only hope of better things is the education of people in the right principles. So I've also been attacked this last week with severe back pain. The last thing on my mind is painkillers. I change positions, I get a massage, I put heat packs on, I put the doTERRA essential oil, deep blue, oh, that goes very deep. I have certain stretches that I do. And guess what? It's 85% better. And I was able to speak and do what needed to be done. I'm glad it's not a boil on the tip of my nose. I say, thank you, Father in heaven, it's not a boil on the tip of my nose. Because you know what the people will say? She's the health director and she's sick. Well, they don't understand that disease is a process of repair. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what Florence Nightingale said, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about her, who was a contemporary at about the same time as Ellen White, but in England, whereas Ellen White was in the US. Mm. And she knew the truth. When Ellen White first got the health message and she looked at it, she closed the book. Whoa, how was she going to tell the people this? In a day where physicians were advising people smoke to help their lung problems. In a day where they ate a lot of meat, a lot of pork, how was she going to tell them that? And you'll read this in the book, The Story of Our Health Message. It's out of print now, but if you can get one, hold on to it. And about that time, a paper appeared on her desk called The Laws of Life. She opened the paper, and it was written by Dr. Jackson of New York. And as she was reading it, she was thrilled. It was everything God had just told her in the vision. And they had their own health retreat in New York. She closed the paper, very excited, but didn't want to meet him, didn't want to have any more until she'd written down what God had told her, because she didn't want it to be influenced. And I wouldn't be surprised, it was right when she was page 127 of the Ministry of Healing, is that right? Disease is an effort of nature to free the system from conditions that arise because of a violation of the laws of health. So she wrote the vision out and she said to her husband, I want to go straight and see this health retreat. And there were something like three or four doctors on staff, there were nurses. Here was a retreat that was using no drugs at all. It was everything that God had just told her in vision. Have you heard this story? Incredible. And she went through, she could not fault. There's only one thing she could find fault with. For recreation, they played card games. So sort of a little bit to gambling type thing. And the doctor said, the only time we are called to someone at night in trouble is if they eat the third meal. They were even doing two meals a day. Mm-hmm. Isn't that incredible? I thought that was so exciting when I read that story. So God, in his wisdom and mercy, saw that when she got this message, she would be shocked, and she was. She was overcome. How am I going to give this to the people? And then the paper came on her table. I wonder if an angel had put it there. It was called Laws of Life. And they kept the eight laws of health. Incredible, isn't it? Incredible. And we know that the Holy Spirit moves upon parts, doesn't it? And the Holy Spirit can teach us. So let's look at this Holy Spirit that can guide us into all truth. It's found in John chapter 14. John chapter 14, starting at verse 15. And Jesus says to his disciples, so this is, he's saying it to us today. And he says, I will send you another comforter, even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, because he abideth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. And then verse 26, he says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. Got that? Mm-hmm. He is your teacher. He will teach you all things and will bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever things I have spoken unto you. Peace I leave with you. Can't you have peace because of that? Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. And isn't a lot of disease now coming from troubled minds? But there's no need to be troubled. So when my bags did not appear at the airport yesterday, and I knew we had a tight schedule, and I knew Casper was back here getting the meal ready for my arrival, and I knew Benj was out there waiting for me, and the bags didn't come. What does Jesus say? Let not your heart be troubled. Have faith in God. And by looking at body language, I suspected there were about 10 other people who didn't have their bags because the conveyor belt stopped. Oh, and they're looking like this. So they started to walk over to a certain area. So I followed them and I said, excuse me, have your bags not come? They said, no. I said, where did you come from? Amsterdam. I said, yes, Amsterdam. And I'm so glad that I didn't realize right then I was going to be waiting 2 hours. God is so good not to show us the future, isn't it? I was starving hungry. I was so thirsty. But you know what? You survive. You survive. And you know what God gives us? 1 minute. And in a minute, he'll give us another minute. That's why God says, let not your heart be troubled. He said, peace I give you, my peace I give unto you. And I watched everyone for a while, then I saw they were going around and getting a number. Mind you, I was there for half an hour before I realized this. You have to get a number. So everyone that came after me, I said, you have to get a number. And they were, oh, thank you, thank you. Do you know what COVID's also done to people? Made them distance, isn't that right? A lady gave me a fist this morning. I said, I want a hug. She said, you hug. I said, I hug. What through this? We have more to fear from without. Sorry, within. We have more to fear from within than without. And so with the medical missionary work, we're based on truth, whereas the devil is based on lies and deception. And one of the biggest deceptions that he has introduced is that germs cause disease. That's a big deception. Last night I touched on the cycle of life. And I know I worked as a psychiatric nurse. I was taught that germs cause disease. If someone has a fever, you've got to get rid of the fever. If someone's coughing up yellow, you've got to give them antibiotics to kill the germ that's made them sick. So it took quite a bit to turn my mind around. But it's the only thing that makes sense. So let's have a look at it. To understand how the body heals, we need to understand how it works. And we need to understand the cycle of life. We know the cycle of life. If you're a gardener and you have compost bins, you see it in front of you. And if something dies, you see it in front of you. It's the cycle of life. So microorganisms are everywhere. And how many cells do we have in the body, students? 100 trillion? Got that? 100 trillion? I'm going to be asking you that question, so I hope you've got that one. And I think it's an important piece of information. And there are 10 times more microorganisms in the body than cells. I can hardly get my mind around that. And there are 10 times more in the gastrointestinal tract than anywhere else in the body. God made us that way. And so what we need to ask is, why did God do that? Whenever cell damage happens, microorganisms have the ability to change roles. We talked about it yesterday. We change roles. We're all dressed a little differently today because it's a little cooler. Does anyone know the temperature today? Are you Celsius or Fahrenheit? 15
degrees Celsius.
15 degrees. What was it yesterday? 27. So we're all dressed a little differently today. We all laughed when I arrived 27 degrees in my nice warm Scottish woolen kilt. And I thought, well, I'll be putting that away, but guess what I did this morning? I brought it out. So we change according to the environment. Yep. So do microorganisms. And whenever cell damage happens, these microorganisms, they become the cleanup team, or as I mentioned last night, one microbiologist said to me, we call them the garbage collectors. They're opportunist organisms, and their name is bacteria. That's what bacteria is. That's what it does. I went into a lady's kitchen one day. I was staying there the night, and I came in to get water out of the tap because it was actually quite good water out of the tap, and oh, it was a very bad smell. And it was a very neat, tidy house. And then I looked in the sink, and her compost bin was a little bucket in the sink, and the lid wasn't on quite right. Oh, what was the smell? It was actually bacteria busily being their garbage collectors, busily breaking down. That's why empty your compost bin every day. Because the fumes and the air that can come off from that are quite bad. As the environment changes, now the microbes become the exterminators. And when you've got a compost bin, you can understand this. So the exterminator's name is yeast, fungus, viruses. If you have a look at the functions of yeast, fungus, it's exactly the same as viruses. As the environment changes, so do they. They now become the mold. The mold is the last stage. So we call that stage the undertakers. And what do undertakers do? They take away dead things, yeah? They're the undertakers. This whole process is designed to bring matter, is that right? Matter back to dust. It's a cycle of life. Or the carbon cycle. Remember the basic law of science? Nothing's created, nothing's destroyed. It just changes form. This is the carbon cycle. So if bacteria is active anywhere, what should we be asking? Why? And if yeast, fungus, viruses are active, what should we be asking? Why? And if the mold's present, what should we be asking? Why? Why is it there? They're just doing their job. Have you noticed with the COVID, and I don't think COVID's a crisis, I think the reaction is the crisis. They overreacted, I think everyone realises that now, but I guess pride stops them from admitting that. And now they're saying things like, well, if we didn't have the masks and the lockdown, it would have been far worse. Is that what they're saying now? So there was actually really nothing to fear. And there's certainly nothing to fear from shaking hands. Do you know the only way I can breathe in your breath is if we go nose to nose? Did you know that? Because right now, Bussa. I got the B right and I knew there was an S there.
Yeah, right.
See, even this close to Bussa, he's not breathing in my waste because my waste is being dispersed. You might get a tiny little bit of it. Can you see that? It defies reason. When I worked in the operating theatre for 18 months, we'd wear masks. But we've got a body that we have opened and exposed to the air. So the surgeon doesn't want any of his breath or droplets. You can use that. That makes sense. And that really smelly compost bin in the sink, that might have been a time for the mask. And if you're shoveling compost and you see a dust of mole there, that's a good time for a mask. But actually to prevent, you know, and that's what my dear sister, who I can't visit anymore, says, I'm wearing a mask to protect you. Well, that doesn't make much sense. And, you know, it's like when I went back to Australia, I came in on a negative pass. But then I'm treated like I've got the plague, even though I've had a negative test. And then I'm tested 3 times negative in the quarantine, but I'm still treated like I've got the plague. What? But I've got a negative test. doesn't make sense. And my husband said, if you're looking for common sense here, you will not find it. Is that right? Remember, there's been a death. No one attended the funeral because no one knew he'd died. Absolutely. So this cycle of life is paramount to understanding how the body works, how it heals, how it functions. To blame the bacteria for the problem is like blaming the fire trucks for the fire. Mm-hmm. It's just there doing its job. Mm-hmm. So to get the bad smell out of that lady's kitchen, all we had to do was take the compost outside. Is that right? That's why you've got to find the source. I noticed that our hour is up, so we might have a 15-minute break now because I want you students to get some fresh air. Mm, yes. Because as you will learn this week, each cell, if it has enough oxygen in it, will give it 18 times more energy. Mm. Okay. Yep, and I'll be giving you the very details of that in another lecture.